I was struck by the little line in verse 24 where it tells us, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. When Jesus came. So much of our difficulties are made all the worse, so many of our trials are made all the worse by the sense of the absence of the Lord. Sometimes it takes us far too long to realize that this is what is wanting. That it's not the absence of the thing we wanted, whatever that thing might be, that really is the problem. It's the absence of the nearness of the Lord. And in these three words, when Jesus came, it just drives home to our hearts that that is what we need. All of the time. The nearness of the Lord Jesus. The awareness of His presence. The ability of the believer to be consciously aware, like truly conscious of. Yes, it may be described as subjective, but real. The Lord is with His people. And more to the point, when we're in trials and difficulties, we can say, the Lord is with me. Now, there are times, certainly, when the Lord distances Himself from us for reasons that we may not always understand this side of eternity. And then we have to trust Him. We have to trust the promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have to trust that what He has vowed to be, that He is our God and will be our guide even unto death, is true even when it's not felt. But even with that, even with the fact that there are seasons where there's a darkness and the Lord seems to cloud Himself from us. Some of the children here, the young people, maybe I don't know if you know this yet. I'm not sure if you've come to a point in your journey where you understand these things, but eventually you will. You'll be aware of the fact that you will look for the Lord and it will feel like He's not there. And it's very difficult for us to endure that. So tonight as we come to pray, I want us to think about these words and just kind of hinge some of our thoughts around them when Jesus came. And note firstly that He comes at a certain time. He comes at a certain time, which puts us back to verse 19, where it tells us, then the same day at evening, the same day, the day of the resurrection. It's all happening on the same day. And so the Lord Jesus likes to meet with His people, of course, and He is with His people, but there is a pattern here where He puts emphasis upon meeting with His people in a way that they feel it and experience it and enjoy it and carry away that experience with them into the rest of the week. It's a true experience for the Lord's day, for the day of resurrection. That same day when He revealed Himself as the risen Redeemer, crucified, yes, but risen, the third day according to the Scriptures. That day He desires at that time to come to His people. I think we should look for this. Of all the days of the week, and we come on Wednesday night to pray, and some of you are very deliberate, and I recognize the pattern, and I'm very thankful for the emphasis that when you pray publicly, you remember the Lord's day that is looming, you know, halfway around the corner of the week, right? It's coming again. I'm praying for the Lord's blessing. I'm praying for, let me be specific here, that the real presence of the risen Christ with His people. And not just in the morning. Talked about that on Sunday. Mentioned it. SMO, SMOs, whatever. Sunday morning only. Christians. But you have it here, we're told, the same day at evening. In the evening of that day. I think you could, you know, make application for the benefit of evening worship. Because they're gathered together, and I know it's not formal worship, but certainly you have precedent that's being laid, foundations that are being laid, and the church following from this seems to establish a pattern where the Jewish Sabbath is a day for evangelism, on the first day of the day where his people gather. They gather to worship and to meet with the Lord. And so you have this encouragement that he meets in the evening. It's not just the morning of that day, what a sweet morning it was, but the evening of that same day. Yes. But it's when they assemble too, isn't it? It's not just the evening. You might say, well, yes, the evening of the Lord's day is a special time, just like the morning is. And you can have it in your home. I think we're missing something when we look at it that way. It's when the disciples, when his people are gathered together, that there he meets with them and encourages them. And of course, I think this is emphasized even more by the fact that Thomas isn't there. Right? When we're told in verse 24, but Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Because if it was the fact that the evening, he likes to meet on the evening of the Lord's day with his people, then he would have made time for Thomas, wherever he was. I don't know where Thomas was. But he was somewhere else. He wasn't with the gathered saints. He's somewhere else. And the Lord doesn't. He doesn't. I've made mention of this. But he doesn't go wherever Thomas was. He gathers with his gathered people. The Lord likes to gather with his gathered people. There's an emphasis on that. And I think you can trace it through Old Testament and New. So he comes at a certain time. There are these times that the Lord has appointments. And I've tried to be more careful even in recent weeks. I've actually tried to be more careful when making the announcements, and we make mention of them, and some of them are just information and details, but there's one that isn't just informative. There's one that is, in God's name, a command, a call to the people. It is the announcing of next Lord's Day's worship, where you're being called upon to be here and worship, that by the authority of Christ, the minister is given the authority to call you to gather with your God. And he would have you so if nothing prohibits or prevents. The Lord Jesus loves to be with his gathered people. Yes, he can be with individuals. He can make appointments with them. And he did, Mary and so on. But you see, he also loves to be where his people assemble. And so he does. He meets with them. And I think we come on Wednesday nights and we should pray for this. We should pray that every Lord's Day is like that first Lord's Day. That the Lord comes and makes his presence known. And he meets with us. He rewards us with a sweet and abiding sense that he is here. He is with his church. He is here to do us good as we worship him for the glory of who he is and what he has done. Yes, sometimes legitimate things keep us away. But whatever it was that was keeping Thomas away, it wasn't legitimate. It was unbelief, and he had no business not being gathered with the rest of the disciples. And I'll not say too much, but certainly I think if you read this, Thomas clearly isn't in the best frame of mind. Now, it's not entirely out of character for him, you know. You go back to John chapter 11, you can sort of see there's a certain spirit that does reflect, you know, he's called Doubting Thomas, he gets that moniker, and maybe not without a certain amount of merit to it, I don't know. But here certainly he is not in the best frame of mind. And so the one place where he needs to be is where the Lord will meet with his people. It might be repetitious because I know I mentioned it recently, but the devil is subtle and very effective at giving us reasons to neglect corporate worship. But one of the things we should do when we gather on Wednesday nights to pray isn't just for his presence, for the Lord's presence, but for the presence of the people. Pray for the church, pray for the Lord's people, their presence also. We don't want Thomases. We don't want people missing out. So, he comes at a certain time. Secondly, he comes with a particular tonic, doesn't he? He comes with a particular tonic. And we might say first, to address their fear with his peace. Verse 19, we're told, the doors are shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And we're told, Jesus stood in the midst, saith unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And verse 26, the next week when he arrives, and the disciples are gathered again together, and Thomas is with them this time, and the door is still being shut, but he stands in the midst and he says, peace be unto you. Now, if you read John Calvin on this, he will just make reference to the fact that, well, this is Jewish greeting, shalom, or some form of a bestowment of peace, desire for peace. And Jews do that to this day. They do. They, shalom, you know, peace. But when ordinary, and this is where I think Calvin's kind of being a little bit short-sighted, dare I say, criticize the reformer. Because when men say shalom, right, you say greet someone in some fashion like that, peace be to you. It is a desire, but we have not the power to make sure it actually comes to pass. I don't have that power. I can desire peace for you. I can say, peace be unto you. Pronounce benediction. But I don't have the power to grant it. Nor do you. That's not what we're dealing with here. So again, I say, Mr. Calvin, I think you missed something here. Who it is that's saying peace? This isn't just a Jewish greeting when God says peace to you. That's what you have here. You have the Lord of glory in flesh standing before his people, speaking peace to them. There's a whole different way of looking at it. This one has no limitations to grant it. Nothing that hinders him from bestowing it. He is able to give it. He is speaking the very word of God. And it is irresistible. And so when his disciples are gathered together in fear, what does he do? He sees their fear. He sees their fear. And he doesn't just come with pleasantries. He comes with a word. A divine word for their fearful hearts. Peace. Behind those words is omnipotence to make sure that that very peace is enjoyed. It's different, isn't it? It's different when a Christian does their best to encourage you and even turn you to Scripture sometimes, and when it seems like, compared to that, when the Lord takes something, and sometimes it's through someone, don't get me wrong, but you know the difference. Someone's trying to encourage and the word is just, it's not It's not anchoring in the heart. And then the Lord comes by His Spirit and there's a worm that's just, it's like the Lord has just opened heaven and given a word for your heart right there. That's different. Christian, He sees your fear. He sees your fear. And He has the ability with a single word to deal with that fear. How much then we should seek it from Him. That word. Give me that word. So we do gather, yes, on the Lord's Day, but what are we looking for? Yes, we look for His presence, but not just a sense that He's here. But let us go a step further. Let us look for that tonic, that word from Him for our fears. Oh, it can come. It can come through a piece sung by the choir. It can come through the responsive reading. It can come through the passage that the preacher is dealing with. It can come through even a line of a psalm or a hymn. There are different ways that He ministers, but it's to hear something that is genuinely from Him. So we pray for ourselves, the fears that we have. You have fears? You have fears? How are you dealing with them? What are you looking for? What's the answer for them? Don't cut this out of the program of helping. Here's what I need for. Here's what will help me. And you have all these things that you think will help you. But you haven't brought the Lord Jesus into it and His Word. And when He comes with a word for you. So He comes with a particular tonic. To address their fear with His peace. We might also say to address their sorrow with His presence. Oh yes, we're doubling down on this reality when He comes and He stands in the midst. Look at verse 20. That first Lord's Day when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They weren't glad before. Now they're glad. When they saw the Lord, when they saw this is the Lord. So their sorrows, if there are any remaining sorrows, anything that was challenging them, like we have dedicated 3 years of our lives, we're still uncertain about all that is going, all what the future holds, we're afraid of the Jews, you know, all the. You know, the mix of emotions. They still hadn't fully. There was an element, I think, still remaining in some of them, and certainly Thomas, of course, but I think still in others yet, that at least, while maybe one or two had grasped it, some hadn't. And with this, at the very least, it's limited. It's a limited sense of confidence that they have at this point. And then it's just heightened. When they see Him, they're made glad. So whatever sorrows remained in their hearts, they just dissipate right there when they see Him. And the Lord loves to do this. He loves to come and wipe the falling tear. He loves to come and teach us again and again and again that He's the one that wants to deal with the sorrow, with the broken heart. He'll actually govern in His providence and sovereignty the circumstances to bring things that break your heart so that He can come in and show His power to be that tonic for the broken heart. Get your eyes off everything else. Yeah. So He comes with a particular tonic. For their fear, He has peace. For their sorrow, His presence. That's what you need, isn't it? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will have no sorrow. because thou art with me. There is a changing. It helps. Doesn't remove everything, but definitely is a tonic when we see the Lord, when Jesus came. Thirdly, he comes with a clear teaching. He comes with clear teaching as well. There's a real foundational teaching that's right here when he comes. And it is this. That the need of every saint and sinner, for the one who's not yet converted and the one who's been walking that road for 80 years, the need is the same. It is to see, it is to gaze upon the finished work of Christ. Verse 20. He showed unto them, it's not just him that's there, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When they saw this mediator. When they saw this substitute for sin, when they saw this lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, when they saw the God-man who had borne their sins in his own body, that through his stripes they would be healed. That's the teaching. These are preachers. But they're men, and they're men who have fears, and they're men who have worries and sorrows. And Christ comes, and yes, he has this tonic for them specifically, but he's teaching them through even the methodology, is he not? So that when they have before them a fearful people, when they stand before a sorrowing gathering of souls, they will remember what did the Lord show me when I felt like that? He showed me his finished work. He showed me what he had done for me. It's the same for Thomas, verse 27. He saith, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, I don't think Thomas did it. I don't believe he did it. First, because it doesn't say that he did what he told him to. And second, because it said, verse 29, thou hast seen me. You don't have to feel it, though he invites it. But it's the same. It's the same teaching, isn't it? Thomas, here's what you need. You need to see that your Lord finished the work. He went to the cross as he said he would, and the third day he rose again from the dead. And I am he. Standing in front of you. Look. Look. And so we pray. When Jesus came, oh, to have memorable Lord's days in this house, and that's what we would say about it. You know, if we were writing a little record of that particular Lord's Day, there, the 11th of September, 2022, when Jesus came. Aye, be able to say that. That's what we pray for. We pray for it. Beloved, pray for it. Pray for the Lord to be here, the Lord to reveal himself, the Lord to address your fears and your sorrows and your concerns, and remind us all of who he is and what he has done. Never get weary of the grand old song. What Christ has done for his people. This is what we need. May the Lord help us. And may he help us tonight to pray for it. Don't just hear the word. Listen. Don't just hear the word. Take the word to prayer. Cash it in, as it were. Lay it before the Lord's feet and say, Lord, this Lord's day and every Lord's day in this house, this is what we need. So we can say, to the glory of His name, that Jesus came. May He help us. Let's sing before we pray.